kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
Kings of freedom around the globe, conscious kings, brothers, meeting at this beautiful digital campfire, masculine mastery conversation. We're joining in fantastic celebration today, collectively as a movement, and you're all, you know, a welcome, wholehearted, appreciated part of this Kings of Freedom movement of consciousness, raising the level, the standard, the game of consciousness that we are individually and collectively playing as married men around the planet. There's a point of celebration today. Collectively, we have hit the first major goal in the podcast, which is we've hit 1,000 total listens. We've just nudged beyond that. And, you know, in one level, it's what's a goal? It's just a figure. Yet, you know, it's important in life, in the middle of any campaign, any endeavor, any great task, to allow ourselves just time to pause and reflect. You know, hitting a goal or a milestone on your way towards a goal on a long-term endeavor. You know, what is the ultimate goal of Kings of Freedom is to reach millions of men around the planet en masse every single week, bombarding your nervous system, your psyche, your souls with the most inspirational, transformational information available to awaken your masculine mastery, your king archetype, your radical freedom, unapologetic aspect of your spiritual essence to unleash into life. You know, that's the ultimate goal. And is there an end point to that? Not really. But I invite you individually and collectively as a bunch of powerful heart warriors in the path together, you know, at this campfire conversation that we do pretty much on a weekly basis, it's a wonderful goal to hit. It's a wonderful number to surpass. That's 1,000 listens in total. Lots of you guys are coming back again and again. Deep bows and full appreciation for that. And other brothers that I know are just, you know, finding out about the podcast along the way, about the movement. You're welcome also. Individually and collectively, this is a tribe celebration. It's a movement celebration. I wholeheartedly thank you. I appreciate you for your part, and I appreciate your presence coming back and the messages of support, the messages of impact, etc., that I'm receiving. Getting into the thick of the action for today, talking about feedback. Direct feedback from your queen. This is one of the most powerful practices, the most, like, if all of you are like the king in you, and the king archetype is in every single man. The king archetype is about growth. The king archetype in you is that aspect of you that is here to grow, is here to expand. Expand in your capacity to embody love. Expand in your capacity to be spiritually at one with life. Expand in your capacity beyond the limits and the constraints of the social conditioning that, you know, the matrix of modern society has bombarded you with and us with collectively, to go beyond, to expand to such a level of consciousness where, you know, you are one creating this new earth, this new oneness, this new level of consciousness that Well, there's always this need, but this is the ultimate, almost eternal game within humanity. That's what spirituality is all about. So it's expanding into that level of growth and growing beyond limitations, the restrictions of the mind. That's what the king archetype is about. Kings of freedom. Just again and again going back. Repetition is mastery. Repetition is mastery. Kings of freedom. And receiving feedback is absolutely crucial on that path. And yet receiving feedback from our wives, from our queens, from our goddesses. You know, even if you're coming from a perspective where you're already integrating the word my queen and my goddess, you're probably already receiving feedback. You know, a lot of the times when we use the word my wife, you know, my woman, you know, you might have sort of, oh, honey, my partner, my other half. There's all of these different terms. And like whatever it is, you know, I bow to the sacred relevance and the wording that you use when you're thinking of your beloved. Yet I encourage you to start looking at her as your queen. And when you start looking at your woman as your queen, well, if you truly see her as a queen, well then, what does a queen expect? A king. Then the question, well, what is a king? You know, and you start thinking, well, a king, well, okay, who embodied kingliness? Jesus, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, you'll know the ones I resonate with, you know, Nelson Mandela, Abraham Lincoln's, the list can go on, and like, I resonate with certain ones, you resonate with certain ones, Jesus, Buddha, etc., etc. There's many other, like David Aida would be one modern embodiment of kingliness within deep intimacy, etc. We all have our heroes, our men that we look to, that we can say, well, I love the way he embodies that kingliness. And that's where the power of having a role model or a mentor or a hero that we can sort of imbue in a relation to them to take on their characteristics that we're inspiring. They're inspiring us because they're triggering a resonance with them. They're triggering a part of us that knows we have this calling to not to be like them and mimic them, but to embody, to remember that part in us that has the same courage, the same capacity to embody. And yet, receiving feedback from our wives is it's one of the most potently triggering experiences that modern men go through. You know, in other episodes, I spoke about the lack of initiation that is in modern life. And it's not to go into the depths of that, albeit it's really important to actually understand the mechanisms of that. But, you know, when we're not initiated as men, we don't shift out of the puppy dog role that we had energetically relating with the feminine, which was, you know, predominantly, if not like exclusively, our mother. And the puppy dog role is like, you know, we come in sort of defenseless. We were in the womb. We were every single need was tended to by the feminine caregiver at the time, our mother. And this divine, beautiful relationship forms. But the puppy dog in us, in our, you know, within the womb selves, out of the womb, early life, that relationship with the feminine is like the puppy dog. We seek protection. We seek safety from the feminine, from our mothers. And so it should be. In actual fact, you know, a lot of trauma can happen when the feminine in the form of her mother isn't so safe to be around. And we take that trauma on ourselves. We form very poor self-esteem, etc., etc. So, you know, the mechanism is, you know, that's where trauma comes when it's not safe. You know, in a healthy societal system, family unit, you know, the maternal, the feminine in the form of our mothers should be really safe. And that's okay. The puppy dog is okay when you're 1 year old, 2 years old, four, five, six, and progressively. That's okay as a boy, as a son of a mother. The major issue, and this all ties back into our capacity to receive full-flame feedback, direct feedback on our levels of presence, on our behavior, on our standards of masculine mastery or not, from our women, from our wives, our queens. Because when we are not initiated, well, actually, what's initiation in the first place? You know, initiation in years gone by would be when the puppy dog part of the boy, you know, that was relating with the feminine, the boy would be brought off. There's multiple different ways and from different cultures, different traditions, but like the golden thread in all of these initiatory practices was pretty much energetically the same. It was to initiate the boy on his path of masculine mastery in life from boyhood to manhood. And what was going on there was, in the words I use, it's like initiating him from the puppy dog into alpha wolf. Part of that initiation was, you know, going off with men and being tested, and the initiatory rites of passage was him facing death so close that all the heroic boyhood sort of arrogance, you know, and opinions about self and the unstoppability, etc., etc., there'd be a grounded humility brought in the face of death, and having got through that, he would come into manhood. And he need to be initiated into manhood, into alpha wolf capacity and embodiment, before he would be reintroduced to his tribe. And at that point, only at that point, could he then receive the highest initiation, which was being initiated into marriage. One initiation into manhood done by the elders, by the men, by the other warriors, by his father, the uncles, the brothers, etc., the already initiated men, that had to be done first to make the ground ready for that boy, now a warrior, a sovereign being, an alpha wolf embodiment by himself. He was now energetically, emotionally, psychologically, from a soul level, deemed ready to be initiated by the dark goddess, by the feminine, by his wife. He was no longer a boy. In actual fact, the feminine link was severed so completely that in some cultures, when the boy would return to the tribe, the mother would not recognize him. She would ask to be introduced. It's like, who is this man? She would be introduced with his new name of manhood as a king, as a warrior. And it'd be like, you know, nice to meet you. She would never refer again to her son from his childhood name. She would never refer to ever having mothered him. The honoring was so complete. He was ready to be a husband. He was ready to be a king to a queen. He was initiated. So within this context, in modern life, because the initiatory rites of passage have been so, I'm not going to say sadly, for whatever reasons, they've been taken out there, taken out of society bit by bit by bit. And, you know, as an uninitiated society, we're weakened as men. I'm not saying you're a weak man. Actually, Kings of Freedom is all about tapping into that inherent massive power, that tsunami, that atom bomb of power, of love, that's inherently there. It's ancestrally there. It's like your archetype, the king, it's there. It's actually just reconnecting you with that. It's reigniting, reawakening your remembrance of the fullness of what's always there. But without being initiated, a lot of our power is burned up, you know, with the umbilical cord still going back, and we end up relating in marriage from a puppy dog energy. And this comes into very practical demonstration in how we receive feedback or don't receive feedback from our wives. I hear it so often, you know, and even from guys that are in deep you know, masculine inner work, they're doing incredible work, and, you know, like, oh, I'm dealing with my emotions, and I'm taking responsibility, and being in integrity, and it's all this beautiful, incredible work, and it's all, you know, they're all perfect in the right path, right time with their growth. You know, it's not a right or wrong, but one of the biggest challenges is always receiving full flame feedback from their women. You know, that's the thing that collapses more men. Collapses a guy or jumps him into full righteous defensiveness, and he, like a lot of men, and I know myself, 12 years like in marriage with my queen Matilda, I had the capacity, I was sharpening my rational mind, and I could, you know, I was always reading all of these books, insights about the mind, psychology, spirituality, etc. I knew the ego inside out, I knew I had all this jargon, but I was actually using that jargon to duck and dive direct feedback. When she was asking me to show up emotionally, you know, I'd find, and this is subconsciously, it was like the inner child in me, the puppy dog in me, was, I was finding it so difficult to receive feedback from my woman for 12 years. As a result, Matilda was actually never safe. She would give feedback, and she'd sort of, you know, feedback from, you know, small practicalities. It's like, oh, Mark, you know, I asked you to, you know, tidy up the towels after the shower. You know, you've forgotten it again. And like from that, did I get a bit resistant? And to, you know, it's like, I just need you to be present. I've asked you to get that thing in town, and you know, I said it to you 3 times, and you know, you said that you would, and you forgot it. And like, this is the second time in 2 weeks that you've forgotten stuff coming back to, you know, more and more, if you want to say deeply intimate, of very high importance, you know, inner work and trust, and how I was relating with other women, etc. How I was relating, and there was like issues with I had a relapse into porn for a very short period of time, and you know, this receiving feedback on all of these levels and all everything in between, there was always a sprinkle, and then sometimes a whole, like a fucking, if there was a sprinkle, a teaspoon of resistance one time, there was an absolute shovel, or like the back end of an Arctic lorry dump truck of resistance other times. There was always this resistance. And, you know, in me meeting and greeting my beautiful queen with resistance to her feedback, this dynamic gets underway. Because Matilda would feel, well, I'm unsafe. Anytime I give him feedback, he doesn't really receive it. So it's like she was noticing lots of things very often, but she'd stop giving feedback because it's like, I'm going to get shit from Mark. I'm going to get shut down. He goes quiet. He retreats. He goes into closure. He'll be cold with me. Blah, blah, blah. The humor goes down if I say this thing. So it's like, my fear of feminine rejection served my temporary needs, which was, well, you know, I won't get the feedback. So if I sort of, this is subconscious, of course, the subconscious mind, it's phenomenal how it will find any avoidance strategy to prevent facing pain. But ultimately, and like, this is the core of the spiritual path, is the core of psychotherapeutic path, the growth path, any path of consciousness, is like, the more you avoid facing and embracing, you know, the feminine of life, the unpredictability of life, the more you avoid it and the more you blame life for the pain it's causing you, well, the more pain you experience long term. But that's the dynamic. The more resistance I would give, the less she gave me feedback. But the less she gave me feedback, that would be a buildup of her frustration. So she wouldn't give me feedback that wave, that wave, that wave. But the wave would get bigger to the point at which it'd be an all-out criticism. It's like, oh man, like, look, it's Mark, it's like, it's the fourth time I'm tidying up. I've told you for how many months. I mean, just enough is enough. And now it's explosive. Now my mind would sort of go into, hey, well, you're just giving out. And like, you're shouting at me. This isn't fair. I mean, I don't deserve to be shouted at. Blah, blah, blah. And we'd have a big fight. And that would be a role repeat for years. I'm giving like a real short synopsis of the dynamics between myself and my queen for, I think, first 12 years of marriage. There was a lot of drama, so much drama in that regard, from fundamentally me actually not being able to receive feedback. And the less I wanted to receive back the feedback, the more it was like really provocative, critical feedback at that point. It was like heavily loaded shit. As I say, it gave me the excuse to avoid it. It's like, hey, you're just being critical. I mean, this is totally unfair. I mean, like, you're taking your shit out of me. And then I could, well, there's more. This is just your wounds. You know, it's like your anger with your dad. And I point and poke at all her shit that she wasn't embodying. And ultimately, it was just not to receive feedback. Underneath all of this, what was actually really going on in my life, and, you know, touch base with you, touch base with what you viewed growing up between your mom and dad. And as always, when I shift your conscious awareness in different various conversations and topics here back to your parents, it's never to blame your parents, it's never to hold your parents responsible. They're just human beings. They brought you into life. Who ya? It's the gift of life. You wouldn't be here consciously present listening to this now if those two beautiful, amazing, unique human beings hadn't done the beautiful sexual, spiritual dance together to produce you. And you're a magnificent man, so who ya? Fair fucking play to them. You know, like full power to them. You know, no right or wrong. Whatever it is that you witnessed, it's not their fault. But yet at the same time, it is important to be able to consciously look at your formative years, at the experiences, at what you witnessed, what you took on by osmosis, the environment that you were in, and especially, you know, in relating with your feminine goddess today, in your marriage, in your relationship, you really need to see, well, what beliefs did the 1 to 8, 9 year old you form? Formative years, to say, like, most of our beliefs are set down by the age of 8 or 9. Of course, there can be other quite big traumatic experiences that we have thereafter that can form beliefs. But predominantly, like, you know, the personality is set quite a lot in our belief systems at that point. You know, it's just a question. Well, what were you viewing? What were you taking on energetically, emotionally, psychologically by osmosis? What dynamics were you seeing between your dad and your mom, your mother? You know, there's, I'm not going to do a shadow, you know, investigation in that, but it can be, there are extraordinary insights that can be harnessed when you go deeper and deeper into shadow journaling. Part of the membership is shadow journaling part, you know, where there's just shadow journaling exercises where you can go deeper and deeper. You know, you just journal the answers and responses to questions, and then it's like, wow, all these insights come out. I never even thought of it. It's like, actually, I'm really, really triggered. I'll speak about myself, you know. I was really, really triggered by Matilda's... And, like, here's the thing. It's like, by Matilda's rejection of me. It's my perception that she was rejecting me. Now, this is the cause-reveal paradigm. In the recent ebook that I did on conscious communication, exclusive ebook within the membership, I was just detailing the difference between the cause paradigm and the reveal paradigm. You know, I actually looked for 12 years at Matilda, thinking it was objective. It's like, oh, she's rejecting me. Like, there was some inherent objective reality. Like, her behavior, well, that's what you describe rejection as. You know, she's turning away, or she's getting cross, she's criticizing me. I've done this, but she's taking me down and she's rejecting me. That's the cause paradigm. And that's a puppy dog paradigm. It's like the feminine energetically is meant to be holding me and keeping me safe, and now this feminine embodiment in my life is she's attacking me. I'm not safe anymore. This is not fair. This is rejection. That's an inner child. That's a wounded inner child. That's a puppy dog boy that has not been initiated into full warriorship and kinghood, that has severed the umbilical cord with the way he has related with his mother. This is, I was relating with my mom. It's like, you're my source, you're my touch point or emotional, psychological safety. You mind me, you tend to me, I'm safe around you. As it's appropriate and a beautiful, I had a beautiful relationship with my mom in many senses growing up. You know, you shift that into marriage. I was still, because the umbilical cord, I was not initiated yet. I was still subconsciously expecting the feminine embodiment, which was now my wife, which is now the mother of my two beautiful daughters. Another two fiery, beautiful goddesses in training. I was still having this subconscious expectation that, well, you're feminine. That means, like, I have expectations on you, subconscious, unspoken, unexpressed, unowned expectations of you that you should be safe. You should be safe to be around. That's why my interpretation of her when she was giving me feedback that my mother never gave me, because it wasn't my mother's role to give me direct feedback. It was my mother. She was meant to nurture me. She was meant to provide a safe emotional environment. But you know, my mother, when I was younger, she didn't have expectations that I had to show up and stand up around the house. She had those expectations of Horking, my dad. But now, you know, as a man in my mid-20s, first daughter, then late-20s, second daughter, and, you know, with business and providing for the family, I was still looking for safety from my wife and feeling deeply rejected when she would give me feedback, because all of a sudden in my world, my relationship with feminine didn't feel so safe. But she rightfully had different expectations. She's not looking at her son, she's looking at her husband, she's looking at her king. She's looking at the man who she has, you know, committed to spend her life with. It's a massive gift. That's a massive honor. It's a massive privilege. You know, and I bring you back to that. You know, I know some of you guys listening in, like, you're powerful guys, you're very intuitive guys. You might be married at this point, or you might be, like, and that's cool, but, you know, you mightn't have that direct experience of what, you know, married, long-term, committed relationship is, but I know you're deeply interested in it. But, you know, a good few guys, most guys listening in, is from married men with kids, you know, just slowing down in this moment. Like, literally, taking a moment, taking a breath, and remembering, you know, that beautiful woman that wakes up beside you every day in bed, you have the honor and privilege to look over and go, wow, she's like, she's my wife, she's my woman, she's committed with me. And, you know, a lot of you would have kids, 1, 2, 3 kids, whatever amount, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's a massive honor and a massive privilege and gift that's bestowed upon us. Rightfully so, you're a magnificent man, but like, the sacred nature of that. Now, the inner child, the puppy dog, that gets upset and feels rejected and wounded, and it's like, oh, well, it's so unfair that she give me feedback. It's because it's not initiated, it's not in the alpha wolf realizing, actually, as an alpha wolf in nature, you're held to exceptional account. If you don't have a moment off, you don't have a day off, and the biological instinctual nature of the other males in the group and your alpha female is that if you start dipping in your presence, if you as an alpha wolf start dipping and going, well, I'm just feeling lazy today. I'm not actually going to be the dominant alpha one leading the pack as it feeds at the carcass. You know, I'm just going to take a day off. It's like, you know, one of the other guys, well, sure, they'll step up. You know, one of my kids, one of the young ones in the pack, sure, look, if they start fighting with each other, whatever, I'm on a day off. If you do that as an alpha wolf in nature, I mean, you're kicked out pretty freaking fast. If you have a moment of switched off, a moment or you're injured or you're sick, somebody's going to step into your place. They're going to challenge you. And there's the game. It's like you step back into your power. You put them back in their box. You reaffirm your dominance in the group and thus your capacity to be trustworthy and safe as the leader. But you need to embody safety. You need to embody such levels of presence as an alpha wolf that everybody can feel safe in your leadership. That's natural order. It's a high level of responsibility to be Alpha Wolf. I don't know about you, but like, do you ever see depictions of Alpha Wolves? It's like, oh, cool. It's like, wow, you know, the Alpha Wolf, it's like, it's such a masculine, sexual, powerful, you know, image. Yet that part of us that is called towards such admiration of an Alpha Wolf, that's the king archetype, I feel. It's the warrior archetype. It really feels inspired by that depiction. But the initiation into kingship is taking on extreme responsibility that the Alpha Wolf embodies moment to moment on a daily basis for his full leadership. The full life and journey of leadership of a pack of wolves. That's an exceptionally consistent level of extreme ownership of your presence. That Alpha Wolf is receiving feedback all the time. Mightn't seem like he's receiving feedback, but he's looking for the one that, you know, he receives feedback when somebody comes in to challenge his territory. That's feedback of, well, you must be backing off. You mustn't be up to your fullest power. You're being challenged. It's duly done, so you'll be at the sharpest, high-end, responsive level of consciousness. And this is my invitation to you here. As a conscious king, you know, I found that, you know, there's so many men, and they like, you know, the archetypal language is like, oh, king, and your brothers, and your warriors, and like the king. It's like, I'm thinking of a few guys, like, particularly coming to mind. It's like, it's all about king. It's all about king. It's like, hey, kings, and like on social media, it's like, hey, king, and then you talk with them and it's like, wow, like they like using the word, but you know, using a word, speaking a word and actually embodying what it really represents is an entirely different fucking thing. You know, I'm not here, like, really part of this podcast is consciously, it's to challenge you, is to support you, challenge you. The core of masculine mastery is direct challenge, is to challenge you. And as I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself. It's like my psyche has been blown open by what comes through me here as well in the moment. It's to challenge us individually and collectively to step into that fullest power. Like that Alpha Wolf power that leads the pack, that has an entire pack, that has such admiration, such respect, that for its survival will unquestionably follow it when he has earned the right to leadership. And that right to leadership needs to be reaffirmed moment to moment to moment. That's the king. The king archetype isn't something, oh, well, I'm a king now. You know, like, some guys energetically feel subconsciously, you know, I could say to this to you, and it's like, a lot of guys can answer and go, hey, that's not me. That's not how I approached it. But actually, subconsciously, energetically, a lot of times, guys, when, you know, when they get married, it's like, oh, I'm married now. And slowly but surely, how they start relating to their wives is, well, she's there, you know. She's there. I can now get busy into my 20, 30, 35, 40 year, you know, career path, where, you know, I get my greatest kicks in life now at career. Because actually the more busyness that happens at home, it's like, oh, well, we have a couple of kids and there's money and then there's, you know, the other project of building the house. And the more I earn, the more I can afford to extend the house, have more cars, and there's all of this stuff. And then there's professional development and it's all busy. But actually the way they're relating to their wife is, well, she's there. She's sort of there. Like, I don't really have to keep the 10 out of 10 levels of performance, of presence, of, you know, taking care of, you know, how my body was and how I was showing up. Was I being polite? Was I, you know, being humorous? You know, was I caring? Was I listening to her? Like, you know, like we do in the beginning. And I say, like we do in the beginning, a king fucking does this all the time, by the way. Like Alpha Wolf, you do it all the time. Actually, in the beginning, the path to masculine mastery is that you look back and your performance in the beginning, you smile and go, I was so much charm and I was showing up and like, yeah, I honor that guy. But that guy back in his early 20s, whatever age it was when you met your queen and you kicked off and you just before you started family life, you're just early. You know, the path of growth is that you look back and go, wow, like, you know, that punk toddy knew shit. But it's like, he, like, honoring it. It's like, I've grown so much in the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He didn't know anything, and that's okay. That's the kingly path. But the vast majority of men actually, you know, to put the big show on at the beginning, but then life gets busy, and then they just sort of fall in on, well, the same shit, different day, and it's busy, 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 and the wife is giving feedback. There again, it gets to the feedback. The wife is giving feedback. Their woman is giving feedback. Their queen, deep down, knows she's a queen, is giving feedback, but the vast majority of men are not responding to the feedback, and because they're relating to it as the inner child, as the puppy dog, the uninitiated puppy dog that is still looking towards their feminine embodiment in their wife, should be giving me emotional safety, but isn't. So feedback is criticism. I don't like this. I don't know how to emotionally receive this. Ah, oh. And then it's rejection, then there's arguments, etc., etc., to the point at which either it's just a drama, and there's many different ways relationships can go and sort of semi-find, you know, a pattern that you live out. But some can be cyclical arguments. That's what Matilda and myself were living out. Others can sort of just, it's like it just dumbs down to the background. One can be, like a man can get super aggressive and just suppresses the woman that he just doesn't get feedback. She's just living in fear. And, well, obviously the opposite can happen. But what you really want to look out for as a man is that your fear of an avoidance of feedback from the feminine doesn't get be so consistent to the point that your woman stops bothering to give you feedback. She stops bothering to point out where she's seeing you're just not showing up. That's the catastrophic, tragic part, that it happens in so many relationships where they just give up on it. And they read their fantasy novels, they laugh with their friends, they watch films, and they sort of get turned on by, in a very sad way, but they get turned on by these depictions of, you know, these ideal men, but they just, in their own lives, in their own queendom, they don't feel like queens, because a queen will give radical feedback no matter what if she steps into her full goddess power, irrespective of where your growth is. But if she dampens it down and stops giving feedback, that level of felt indifference, that's so catastrophically painful for a woman to feel into that she needs to switch off emotionally. And if she does that, she stops bothering you. If that marriage keeps going on for years and years and years, and quite a number of them do, I mean, it's dead. Yeah, you're not getting the feedback. You're not getting the, you know, sort of rejection, the so-called perception of rejection from the feminine. It's very sad. There's no growth there. And you mightn't feel the pain. You mightn't have that pain revealed. But that's, you know, pain that's not revealed is growth opportunities that are not being revealed. And one of the main reasons why our women really, how would I say, it's like they really feel the rejection of our lack of receiving feedback is because we actually seek out feedback for our growth in so many ventures. Like if I think of the like black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, a lot of guys are into jiu-jitsu, and like jiu-jitsu, it's a sport. There's lots of sports like football, coaching, running. Your coach gives you feedback. It's like, hey man, you know, you need to step up. You know, it's like you haven't been at training. You're like, you're only at three quarters of the training this season. Like, you know, any wonder, you know, your fitness isn't at all, you know. And like, you'll hear guys, they sort of like that bit of challenge. It's like, oh yeah, man, look at, like, I'm really busy at work, but look at, I'll up it. I really get back discipline. Yeah, there's this feedback received from the coach. The coach challenges, receiving of feedback. We feel inspired. We get refocused. It's good. Busy life. That's okay. You know, where we're at work, like the quarterly receiving feedback from the board of directors, whoever is holding you accountable, your boss in the office, etc., etc. We receive that. Yes, of course, actually, Of course, there can be a resistance to receiving feedback there as well, but we receive it. You know, we take it on the chin quite a bit. Then also, like, we can have, you know, I know different guys that are in spiritual traditions like Zen or Buddhism, and there can be this high devotional honoring of, you know, the spiritual master. It's like the spiritual master, the guru, and we'll go and retreat, and anything that is said, you know, we'll be receptive and we'll, you know, change our behavior on that feedback. Then if you think of the growth opportunities we look for, like in professional training, quite a number of guys, the more on my coaching path I get this feedback, you know, a lot of professionals, they're very accustomed. I'll ask guys, you know, well, have you experienced coaching before? And a lot of guys, these professional guys, high up, you know, high powered positions in corporate or business and entrepreneurship, they'd be like, yeah, you know, I have experienced coaching before. And the vast majority of times when I dig deeper, it's like, it's coaching for entrepreneurship. It's coaching in marketing. It's coaching in public speaking, which is why, because it's a professional development. It's good for the job. It's good for professional and progression going up the ladder in corporate world and business world, financial goals, etc., etc. This is all beautiful and this is all powerful and amazing, you know, and I bow and I honor you for any feedback you're receiving. Yet, our women are looking on and seeing how we're relating and receiving feedback, and we'll come back and go, hey, you know, like they called me out of work and I took it on the chin, but you know, I've got to step it up next month. Or they'll hear us talking about, oh, the black belt, you know, like with such honoring of the black belt and the feedback. Oh man, he gave me this feedback and I've really got to work on that part of my game. Like, it's amazing how he's able to see just where I need to just tweak it. And you know, we speak with such passion about receiving feedback and the benefit it is for us, and we'll talk about professional development. It's like, oh, I need to, you know, upskill my thing there. It's like there's this intensive training, but it's going to be of real benefit for me for progressing. You know, I think I could get that promotion next year, but I need to, you know, do this intensive training, etc., etc. It's feedback rich training so often. So we show up in the arena of life actually seeking feedback, but not from our queen. They feel this shit. They feel the lack of integrity of us seeking feedback elsewhere and not receiving whore feedback. My question to you is, like, have you been receiving feedback from areas of your life? Have you been seeking feedback directly or indirectly? Like, have you been going and doing training programs? You know, there's feedback sort of inherently in most training programs. Or have you got direct coaching on certain elements, or sought out mentorship, or, you know, in a level, it's not a direct feedback, but you're listening to this podcast. It's sort of like a feedback. It's a triggering of your, you know, how you're doing in life. It's a self-inquiry. Feedback, sort of, in a way, but are you seeking that in areas of your life, but not directly from your queen? Slowing down to speed up. Recently, I was at the dinner table, and all of a sudden, our seven-year-old Elena, seven-year-old at the time of recording, I fancy myself as being a bit of a funny fucker, and you know, there's a lot of laughter in our family. We like I need to counterbalance one of my things in life. I go so profoundly deep into consciousness, into these ideas. Like, it's sort of all this, like, if I'm in my mind, I'm like, it's deep, reflective, introspective, fucking getting to the depths of humanity and consciousness, etc., etc., etc. It can get quite intense, actually. So I need to counterbalance it with a lot of fun, a lot of joy, and a lot of devil care less humor. So I was at the table, and whatever it was, I was joking, and there was a lot of laughter, but I think what sort of happened was I pushed the joke a little bit far. Okay? Our seven-year-old, Elena, she just looks over at me, like, with these serious eyes. She has this capacity, I don't know, with your kids, like, this capacity to just cut through me with these eyes, this sincere face, and the voice. Dad, you were at an 8 or a 9. Now you're at a 1. And honestly, I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? I for a second, because of the context coming from horror, I was like, I didn't know, like, what, 8, 9? What are you talking about, 1? So, like, you were being really funny. You were at an 8 or a 9 of levels of funniness. Now you're at a 1. And we all burst out laughing. But I tell you this story because this core practice that I'm going to introduce to you and invite you to embrace fully is requesting direct feedback on your levels of embodied presence from your queen, where spontaneously and often, as often as she feels right to do so, but the amount and quantity of feedback you will get, it comes from you requesting it. It's all in the kingly request, the repeated asking, give me feedback, I want more feedback, because why the king wants to grow. It's 10 out of 10 consciousness. That's the game of kingship, like the alpha wolf, remember. But my 7-year-old actually gave me one of the greatest bits of feedback possible. First of all, she had the confidence within our family system where she felt okay to radically give me feedback. It was on humor, but it was like direct feedback. It's like, you're not being funny anymore. You're at a 1. You're pushing the joke too much. She was confident and she felt safe to actually give that. Now, here's the thing. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm not talking about having my shit sorted here. Like, for years, it was totally unsafe to give me feedback. But I give that as an example, as a humorous example of, it has been incorporated in an embodied way within our family, our emotional ecosystem, that Matilda gives me such regular feedback out of 10. It's like in the door, and it's like busy in my mind, whatever. There's something with a client or something about finances. There's something about, like, my mom, actually part of this I speak about is, like, my mom recently is just, she has been diagnosed with progressive stomach cancer. It has spread. It's like, if on one level, it's quite an intense tsunami I'm surfing at the moment. But I'm always requesting feedback, and I'm getting feedback. She'll give me feedback. It's like, hey, come in the door. And it's like, Mark, I'm feeling you're hard. It's like, you're 3 out of 10. I want my king. And it's go time. It's like, oh. And the if then is, if I receive feedback, then I shut the fuck up and I receive it. I go quiet. I feel into my body. I don't give it back. Like, she must be safe. And she feels that safe that she gives me such regular feedback that our 7-year-old daughter, just by osmosis, has heard this so often happening in her presence that she just gives spontaneous feedback. Now my daughter's giving me feedback. My 11-year-old, it took quite a level of time. I've spoken about this in other episodes where, you know, I was so unpredictable in my emotionality that she didn't feel safe. So she learned to dissociate, to zone out, actually, quite a lot. Quite a dramatic manner. And it's only in the last 6-8 months where, you know, for a lengthy enough time that I have been more predictable, more consistent. It's like she can feel predictably safe in my presence that she's beginning to open up. She's not dissociating. She's in her body. I'm like supporting her in many ways and that, but she's giving feedback, plenty of feedback. It can seem like quite a challenge, and especially when, you know, in an uninitiated culture and modern society, that we haven't, in so many cases, the vast majority of cases, cut the umbilical cord. That, you know, if you're up until now have been relating to the feminine embodiment in your wife with that sort of puppy dog, oh, I hate rejection, I really don't like getting direct stingy feedback from her. If you can relate with that, it can seem so anti-intuitive to go, well, okay, I'm going to start asking for, you know, 1 to 10, scale of 1 to 10 feedback on my levels of presence. It's like, it can feel overwhelming. Yet there's a magic in it. There's a magical power, which is, and here's the context. Have you noticed that your woman is going to give you feedback no matter whether you like it or not? What I've noticed, in my life. And I reflected back to guys in coaching, and they found it's like the revelatory insight that this is. Like, it's like, wow, the awakening. It's like, you're going to get feedback anyway. As I say, you don't want to get to the point that, you know, your rejection and avoidance of feedback gets to such a point that she stops giving you feedback. That can sort of happen. But you're going to get feedback anyway. And you're going to get a tsunami of feedback. If she's suppressing feedback, you're going to get the fucking tsunami of it. You're going to get feedback. It'll just be really stingy and really in your face and really provocative to trigger you into kingship. Your queen wants to trigger you into kingship. But the more you avoid it, the more you energetically, psychologically, like, step back from the feminine storm. It's not that you physically step back, even though that can happen. But the more you're stuck within yourself, in closure, in dissociation, you're stuck in your head. You know, your woman is giving you feedback and you're just there protecting enclosure because you're just in your head nattering, going, she's such a fucking bitch. You fucking tell me this, but, like, sure, she didn't fucking do that last week and she's fucking shouting at me. She's saying, I'm getting loud. Fucking listen to her. And you could actually vomit that out in her face verbally, or that's the talk going on in your head. So you're not feeling. And all of this commentary in you, touch base with yourself. Have you noticed that in heated discussions, what you might call, what are eventually termed as arguments, there's a feedback that's not being received. And there's a part of your mind that's just really resistant, and it goes into blaming, or it might even protect by shaming yourself. It's like, I'm such a piece of shit. She's giving me this fee. I'm so useless. You're beating your own back. It's still a protective thing. Different mechanism, but it's a protective thing. If I beat the shit out of myself and put myself down, well, she can. Nobody can put me down more than I put myself down. I preventatively put myself down, so I'm in control. It's another pattern of how we deal with trauma. But when you're doing that, and that's your inner story, and you're avoiding feedback from the feminine like the plague, you're gonna get it anyway. But when you're not in control of it, and you haven't asked for it, and it's involuntarily just landed on your plate, and you're avoiding it, it hurts. It's shocking. You don't want it. Energetic, you're like, this shitty, that's so stingy, that burny, that's hot. It's like, I didn't have time to put oven gloves on, I'm being burned alive here. Because you've been avoiding it. I think it was Carl Jung said, it's like, what you resist persists. What you resist feedback, it'll bloody persist, because a good, powerful, loving woman will persist in hunting your kingliness down, your godliness down, the badass man that she fell in love with. She fell in love with your higher self. She humored, like, he has his boyish, his immature things, but, you know, he'll step up in time. And it hurts when you haven't, or you're receiving feedback, listening, but you're not actually taking it on board. That hurts the queen in your woman. The paradox is that when you lean in and you face the feminine storm energetically, and you step towards the storm, so close in that you're actually at the eye of the storm. And what I mean by this, and this practice is like, you know, my invitation to you is, beyond listening to this, is like, go to your queen and say, hey, I'm looking for feedback. I want this to incorporate this in as a habit. It's going to be a regular habit on a daily basis. I just want to get this going. I want your feedback. It's like, I don't want to do puppy dog anymore. I don't want to do hurt, wounded inner child anymore. I don't want to repeat. I have no desire to repeat, you know, what I learned by osmosis, that, yeah, my dad felt triggered, my dad felt rejected. I don't want to repeat that. I am a conscious king. I don't need to subconsciously repeat the patterns, because, guys, if you repeat the patterns, well, your kids are listening on. As I say, my 11-year-old was dissociating. Well, if I didn't, you know, awaken my power and support her to start getting back in her body, well, her dissociation, that was just going to be the next generation. She was going to be dissociating in the face of masculine feedback. You know, and then I'd be looking at her and her relationship going, oh, man. She, like, he says anything to her, she goes into dissociation. It's a disaster. You know, it's like, the trauma stops with a king. I really want to, like, speak to you. It's like, no matter what you've experienced in your past, I've experienced shit in my past, and, like, whatever happened in your past, it happened. Accept it. Take it on the chin. It makes you who you are. You're a magnificent king in the making, in the initiating, in the, like, on the path. Diamond in the rough. It doesn't matter the level of roughness. You're a diamond in the rough. The job of spirituality, the job here at Kings of Freedom is just chipping away. Character, the word character comes from the root of the word, like, is to chisel away. Character is chiseling away all this unnecessary hardness, these opinions, this protective strategies. That's growth. That's the path of Kings of Freedom. So when you step into the center of the storm, you're protected. The feminine storm, the stillness at the calm of the storm. You enter there. Now it takes kingliness. It's an initiating rite of passage to go to your queen and say, I'm requesting direct feedback. Full flame. 1 to 10. The scale is 1 to 10. 1 is like, I'm just a useless son of a gun. I'm saying useless, not literally useless, but it's like, I'm just totally unpresent. I'm not listening to anything. I'm just a dead duck. I mean, 1 out of 10 is the lowest level of presence. I'm not awakened in my body at all. It's like horrific. 10 out of 10 is like Jesus on the cross type presence. It's like, it's godly. It's perfection. Let you in on a secret. Matilda sort of laughs. She's like, she has given me good few nines. Along the way, lots of sevens, lots of eights, 10 never. She goes, I'm never giving you 10. It's like, I'm just fucking not giving you 10. It's like, I'm not gonna, it's like, it doesn't matter. We have this laugh. It's like, I don't want, like, it's just like, 10, you'll get to the end. You get too cocky. That's cool. That's queenly. We have this thing. But you ask your queen, my invitation, not my challenge to you. Face your wounds. Remember, the king, a job of the king, a role of a true king in leading his kingdom, is to be able to hold his wounds and do his inner work as he simultaneously holds the wounds of the kingdom. That's it. So by directly requesting feedback, you enter the center of the storm and you're safe. Her resistance actually drops. Might be a surprise look in her face. It's like, wow, could be like me. It's like 12 years when I started asking this direct high flame feedback from Matilda. Took a bit of adapting. It was actually quite a bit of adaptation to it. It's like, wow, sort of the question is, am I going to be safe to do this? But I was persistent in it. I was like, I want feedback. 1 to 10, give me the feedback. I want to grow. I want you to feel safe. Because when you're with somebody for long enough, and obviously, guys, hey, there's a role reversal here. You can tap into the level of presence, the level of where your woman is at. But the king is looking for feedback. Feedback is about you. It's about you taking your extreme ownership of your 100%. What's happening in you? You know, when you're in relationship for long enough together and you're around each other, you know, your woman has got to know you through times when, you know, finances were tough, things were tough, through arguments, good times, bad times, and all in between. She really knows you. That's deep intimacy. It's into me you see. She's got to see the real you. She's got to see the fake you. She's got to see the angry you. She's got to see, you know, the upset you, the blissful you, the I'm king of the world, top of things, my business is bust, me, and I'm back up on top financially you. It's like she's seen all of you. She knows within a nanosecond how present you are. As quick as a Zen monk can tell your presence, she'll be able to give you presence, feedback. She'll know hard, in from work. She'll know from the close of the door. She'll know from the tone of voice. She'll know by your cadence. She'll know by the grimace on your face. She'll know from the, you know, the first word, how you've said hello. She'll know from how you've opened the door, how you've closed the door, how you've hung the keys of the car on the key ring, key hook, whatever you call that thing. She knows that. She knows your level of presence instantaneously, and actually by extension, so do your kids. This episode is about receiving feedback from your queen. It actually extends to your kids. A king asks feedback from everybody in his kingdom. Why? Because his fullest desire, like the alpha wolf, he wants everybody to be safe. They'll only respect you as a leader when you're leading them wholeheartedly, requesting full flame feedback. Part of all this taps into, on a higher level, if you go back into masculine and feminine teachings going back to years, I mean, the feminine goddess is the oracle of wisdom. That's beautiful language that Matilda speaks to me. It's like the oracle of wisdom. And modern life is sort of, you know, when we have it depicted on popular TV depictions of masculine, feminine, male, female, husband, wife, you know, it's like Homer Simpson, Marge, poor, long-suffering woman that has to deal with the stupid husband. King of the Hill. Think of like all of these depictions and in modern life where it's like the man is sort of, we've been dumbed down. Remember, just a reminder of like the testosterone levels of men has been plummeted by 40% over the last 50 years. It's catastrophic. There's been a bombardment of shaming of masculine mastery, of what the sacred masculine is about. So we're not victims, but there has been quite an attack on the psyche of modern men. So, but there's been an erosion of the sacred nature of the relationship with the goddess as well. You know, women have taken there's been a lot of shaming just per se. And men, women, you know, the feminine movement, the masculine movement, all of this, like the for and against, it's all bullshit. It's like, I'm all for unity. It's like the coming together of the sacred masculine, sacred feminine, the masculine, the omega, the yin and yang in together. That's unity, consciousness. It's beautiful. No need for patriarchy, matriarchy, is like the whole kit and caboodle in together. That's fucking everybody, all inclusive. That's spirituality. But like looking back, it's like Shakti. You had Shakti. That was the divine feminine goddess. You know, there's depictions of Shakti, and like it's, you need to get into like what it's symbolically, what it's symbolizing, where she has like Shiva, the divine masculine god, decapitated, head hacked off. You know, it's like blood pouring out. But it's like Shakti would give Shiva such ferocious feedback, but his head hacked off, he's smiling, he's blissed out, because he's receiving the full divine feminine goddess feedback, and all his weaknesses, all his lack of consciousness would, you know, would be stripped back so ferociously, with such ferocious directness, that it's the depiction is like she kills him, but he's dying in bliss in these type of paintings. You know, you can, from a traumatized inner child, you can go, oh, that's dreadful, that's not right, blah, 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 blah. But it's talking, it's symbolism. It's the divine goddess gives ferocious feedback. Why? Because she's initiating the masculine into godliness. It's this masculine, feminine, sacred dance. It's fucking beautiful. There again, the hurt, wounded inner child of, I don't want to be rejected and criticized like my mom criticized my dad, or like you, whatever it is, and you know, no right, no wrong, and they weren't initiated, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, spiritual growth, masculine mastery, you need to hack morality out to the side. But it's remembering that there's this sacred masculine godliness dance with the feminine goddess dance. And that's a full flame experience. On a very practical level, remembering, reconnecting with that dance is looking for direct feedback. Now, in this feedback, you're not looking, you know, you're looking for feedback on presence. You're not looking for feedback as a, the feedback, if you get 1 out of 10 feedback, it doesn't mean that you're imperfect, you're a piece of shit. Oh, 1 out of 10, poor me. It's not feedback on perfection. And here I invite you, ferocious kingly men around the planet. When the wounded, traumatized part of our mind, the inner child, the stuff that we're diligently dealing with, but that's the part that is like, when there's shame, the voice of shame is in the background. It's like anything that is not what we perceive to be perfect, we feel the deep shame for. But here's the big thing. Your wife, your queen, your goddess is not looking for perfection. She actually, the more human you are, the more you open up with, you know, the challenges that you're experiencing on the inside, the more she actually feels your presence. She's not looking for perfection. She's looking for presence. She's looking for conscious and awareness to be safe, that you can be consciously aware, fully present, listening, without any avoidance of actually just what's unfolding in front of your eyes, what's unfolding in front of you emotionally, that she's looking for 10 out of 10 presence so she can just be the feminine. She's not looking for perfection. She's not looking for you to be a millionaire. Actually, the less present you are for long term, she might start looking for, well, look at, if he's just fucking not receiving feedback, well, I might as well just, well, excel in your work and give me like a credit card. I can buy whatever I want and have whatever. Like, it starts getting really superficial. You know, the longer a woman goes without your presence, the more she'll just go, I'm thinking of one couple where it's like, this woman has an obsession with exotic pets. She spends all her husband's money. Why? Looking from the outside, they're nice people, good guys. He's a great businessman, but it's like, he's just never present. He's never present emotionally, psychologically. He's never present physically around the house. She meets the needs, but it's like, it's spending money, and you know, there's a lot of that out there. It's like the feminine will meet the need subconsciously by whatever which way. Sometimes it can end up cheating, looking elsewhere, going elsewhere. That's the ultimate feedback. Kids are gone. That's when most separations and divorces happen. It's like, look, I've ridden this boat as long as I can. You're just not receiving feedback. You're not changing. Enough. I'm gone. I'm out of it. I still have life left to live in me. I'm gone. That's the ultimate feedback. Remember, the less you want the feedback, the more the feedback is going to come, but it's not going to be in your terms, and it ain't going to be pretty. The paradox I'm inviting you into investigating and challenging you into implementing, ferocious amazing kings, is go to your queen and say, hey, look, I heard this idea. I want to try it out. Don't do it as a technique so she'll love you and think you're great. It won't work. She'll smell the bullshit 10 million miles away. Why? Because she's Shakti. She'll hack your head off energetically. She'll test you. Ask for feedback on your presence. And when you receive the feedback, ask, how can I improve? Where am I not being present? Oh, and you'll get feedback. Now, in the beginning of this, my direct thing to you is, if you're like me, that after, you know, for 12 years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever, 12 years for me, you were showing up in a certain way and she wasn't feeling safe, you've got to build safety into this. You've got to sort of persist in the beginning and like establish this as a core part. It's not just, oh, one suggestion and, well, then she just didn't practice, she didn't give me feedback. She's probably feeling like really cagey and quite unsafe to give you radical feedback. Because why? If you weren't asking for it for quite some time, she can feel inhibited to give you the full flame, because maybe she has like a mountain of feedback that she really wants to give it to you. It can be really full flame in the beginning. I found that Matilda had like a lot to say. Actually, a lot to say. And then, you know, within a couple of weeks, you know, it was like she was just feeling really safe. She was feeling really, it became fun. It was like, hey, Mark, you're at 2. And I just drop in, do my check-in. She's like, oh, you're at 6. It's like, oh, cool. And like, maybe I joke or I might avoid her. Like, you're at 3, you're 1. And then I'd be up at 8. Like, we'd play with it. It became fun. It became a loving, connecting practice. Because the more I requested feedback, the more she felt my sincerity. She felt my whole heart. She felt my yearning, my desire to actually show up as a king. To show up as a divine husband. Worthy of the queen that she is. She could feel that every time I was asking for feedback, I was honoring her. Because when she gave feedback, I was honoring her as an oracle of wisdom, and I was receiving, and I was like, well, how can I improve? Are there any specifics? What are you looking for? And because I was asking for it, she was feeling safe. When she would give me the feedback, it wasn't like landed with a sharp, hard tone where she was protecting herself from a backlash. Now I get feedback so often, you know, it's just landed on a silver platter. It's like, oh, Mark, well, you know, now that you say it, actually, you know, you went in a call the other day and, hey, look, just, you know, you set an intention before that you finished the call and you went 10 minutes overboard. And, you know, it's not the 10 minutes, Mark. It's just like, you know, you give me your word and you need to touch base with me. Just like take a look out the door and sign down to me. It's like, I'm okay with it, but it's like, your word is really, I build trust on that. So feedback is, you know, you lack presence, you don't think to look out the door. You've actually told me that you do that before. We said it as an if then and you didn't do it. So, you know, feedback, that's like 2 out of 10 presence. And like, if I say to her at that point, it's like, oh yeah, but like there was this thing, it's like, she's like 1 out of 10. I don't want to hear excuses. I laugh, I smile. It's like, yeah, of course you don't want to. I don't want to give excuses. This is high practice. This is high, high practice. It's a high practice because, I'm about to say poignantly, but it's like it's life. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm not feeling sorry for my mother in this. But to give context, this practice, you practice for the worst storms. Why do you do intense practice in jiu-jitsu? Intense. Some super intense practice. So that actually, you know, anything you might meet in a self-defense moment out in the street, it's a self-defense martial arts, you know, it's never going to be more intense. That's why you train. Training, you train to your limits so that when you go into the battlefield on a sports field, you've trained to more intense levels to what you'll actually meet on the battlefield. That's how you train. So the training, you really want to train with full flame feedback so that when you're riding out the worst of storms in life, you're ready. The training, you're prepared. I'm riding out, like I've said it to Matilda recently and some friends, it's like I'm surfing a tsunami in the last 2 weeks. My mother received confirmation diagnosis that she has, one could say, is end-stage stomach cancer. It's progressive, it has spread. Clinically, it's not a very nice prognosis at all. She's been given her time. There's chemotherapy going, and you know that was just 2 weeks ago at the time of recording. So you can imagine, like, you know, the depth of inner work I've done, but like this is an initiation. This is like I'm lucky in so many ways and fortunate and appreciative that, you know, I've got to spend this much time thus far. Who knows? Like, and where there's life, there's hope. But when I received the news, to give you context to, I'm not saying it's a truth, you know, but test it for yourself. But in my practice, on my path of masculine mastery, the intensity and the sincerity and level of intentionality that I practice that allows me show up like this and actually call myself out and call you out, I practice to more and more intensely high standards within myself. The day that I received the news, you know, I cried by myself for a few minutes. I went up to Matilda. You know, I shed tears with horror. I can feel like, you know, that emotional load coming up. I actually, 10 minutes later, said, hey, I've got to go out, do my breath work, training, half an hour. It's like, I've got to stay in the game. I'm doubling down. It's like, there again. If I didn't do it, she'd give me feedback. She'd hold me accountable to it. And I've asked her for feedback on my breath work. It's of absolute essential nature. That's my practice. You know, when I stop doing my breath work, my levels of presence falls. So it's like, it's my number one self-care habit. Just touch base with you. It's like, do you struggle with discipline? Do you struggle with, oh yeah, well, I do my breath work or I do meditation, but then it falls by the wayside. It's lack of presence does that. It's lack of actually honoring how important your presence is. All these trainings are for presence. But the level of accountability and the standard that I hold myself to is, on that first evening, I turned to Matilda. I was like, hey, I need 3 times the intensity of feedback now. I'm riding out an initiatory wave that I've never faced before. It's like my first parent that I'm going to go through this sort of a potential end-of-life process. And, you know, where there's life, there's hope. There's still a full potential of healing there. And I'm supporting my mom and dad with that. But it's like, it's definitely an initiation of energetically inner child work. You know, it's a rite of passage. So my levels of presence need to be impeccable like never before. I will not be able to be there, a full, emotional, wholehearted, loving and accepting support of my mom and my dad as they deal in their king and queendom. I won't be able, if I don't have full levels of support, I'm not going to be able to be there for them. As I show up, looking at my queen into her eyes, it's like, you're my queen. My mom is not my queen, you're my queen. I need impeccable presence to keep doing the job here, keep connecting with you, sexually, emotionally, psychologically, keeping this kingdom safe, and my daughters. It's like, hey, there's work, there's the podcast, there's all of this. We've a lot of shit going on. It's in our beautiful, full lives. I'm requesting your direct support. I have a need for like 3 times the intensity of feedback. No feeling sorry for me. I need that. And she has. I've never been getting more regular feedback. Here's the thing, guys. What a fucking support. You know, the situation is with my mom and that, it's like she's going into chemotherapy next week at the time recording. It's fucking intense. It's intense. But my commitment within that journey, within that tsunami that I'm surfing, with my mom, my dad, and, you know, all the emerging stuff that's happening within myself as I adapt to it, as I evolve to it, write out the initiatory rite of passage that it is, you know, speak with my two brothers, my sister, extended family, etc., supporting my parents, but being supportive, but while honoring their sovereign right, I would have a radically different approach, you know, to the healing program. But, like, supporting, open-handedly offering forward from my wisdom, from what my research is of, you know, certain healing capacities, and there are radical healing availability and opportunities there, but honoring them, they're sovereign beings. So it's a high-end game. But the thing is, it's like, I'm honoring the intensity of it, but it's not hard. And it's not hard because when my levels of presence are 7, 8, 9, never the 10 out of 10, Matilda won't give it to me. But it's like when I'm at this high-end level of consistent presence, presence is embodied consciousness in the moment, the king archetype. I'm just a witnessing awareness of life, the feminine. Remember the feminine? This episode is about receiving feedback from the feminine. The feminine in the form of our queen. But like the feminine is the unpredictable, ever-changing nature of life. That's the universe. That's the life in which we have no control over. So that the practice of receiving feedback from your queen prepares you to be radically present when the worst of storms come, when the unpredictable currents of life that you don't have any direct influence over hits you. An economic change, pandemic, you know, somebody dies, somebody gets sick, you break your leg, your business goes bust, your business partner runs off with all the money, whatever it is. You're ready. This practice is an essential practice for kingship. If you come back off this practice, and you don't have to do anything I suggest, of course, of course, of course. But a king at his core seeks out feedback, ferociously direct feedback on his presence from his queen. He seeks out other feedback everywhere, but the most direct, most intense feedback is on your level of embodied presence, moment to moment to moment. When you start doing that, you enter the calm at the center of the storm, and actually, your lack of resistance to feedback drops, dissolves horror resistance to giving feedback. Divine bliss, divine trust, divine, infinite, deep intimacy activates as a result of such a practice. It's one of the most intense practices you can do as a man, to step up into kingship in such a way, yet it takes uncommon engagement to reveal uncommon results, and uncommon results is what Kings of Freedom is all about. Unapologetically so. For today, what has been said is perfect as it is. What remains unsaid will be said at another day when it is perfect and will serve powerfully. With deep bows, big love, brothers, go have a beautiful kingly day.
Thank you for listening to the Kings of Freedom podcast. To receive no BS proven strategies to unlock limitless levels of peace, power, and purpose as you lead your family and create your have-it-all life, sign up now to the Kings of Freedom email list. Find the link in the podcast episode description or at www.kingsoffreedom.me.